May what I speak, may what you hear, be in the name of the God of love, who creates, redeems, sustains every single one of us. Amen. Please be seated. Well, let me begin by saying it again. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. It's really wonderful to have you all here this morning. Christmas is, without doubt, the most magical time of the year, is it not? For those of you with little ones in your lives, children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews or whatever, I know this is a very, very special time indeed. I will always remember when I was first ordained 15 years ago, going on a visit to a family in the week coming up to Christmas and asking the little boy, who was about 7 or 8, are you ready for the big day? And he said, yes, I am. It's only 4 more sleeps. Well, the sleeps are all done. And here we are on Christmas Day. And things like that, they remind me, as I'm sure they remind you, they remind me of Christmases in my childhood, yeah, when time was measured in sleeps. And as Christmas Day grew closer and closer, it got harder to get those sleeps. Such was the growing level of excitement and giddy anticipation. And while we're on the nostalgia kick, I remember other things from my childhood Christmases in Ireland. I remember hanging a sock at the end of my bed for Santa Claus. Do people still do that? Yes. My sister, by the way, was always worried that a sock might not be big enough for the present, and so she used to hang her tights at the end of her bed. Clever girl. You did that too? Clever girl. I remember too my mother warning me that if I was not good, Santa Claus might bring me a lump of coal. A lump of coal. Has anybody ever heard that? Yeah? I thought that might just be an Irish thing. Anyway, all that was then, and this is now. And I think, you know, one of the sadnesses of getting older is that in many ways, often we lose some of that magic of Christmas. That sense of excitement and anticipation. In many ways, we lose our sense of wonder, don't we? The great poet Wordsworth put it like this. He said, Heaven lies about us in our infancy, but shades of the prison house begin to close upon the growing boy. How true that is for many of us. And it really won't do. It won't do, and it certainly won't do at Christmas time. So before we go any further, let me share with you some words from G.K. Chesterton, which I find help to rekindle that sense of wonder at this time of the year. I've put the words on your weekly notices sheet so you can take them home with you and you can follow along as I read them. This is what Chesterton writes about Father Christmas, that great icon of our celebration of Christmas. Here's what he writes. As a child, I was faced with a phenomenon requiring explanation. I hung up at the end of my bed an empty stocking, which in the morning became a full stocking. I had done nothing to produce the things that filled it. I had not worked for them, or made them, or helped to make them. I had not even been good. Far from it. And the explanation was that a certain being whom people call Santa Claus was benevolently disposed towards me. What we believed was that a certain benevolent agency did give us those toys for nothing. And as I say, I believe it still. I have merely extended the idea. You see, then I only wondered who put the toys in the stocking. Now I wonder who put the stocking by the bed, and the bed in the room, and the room in the house, and the house on the planet, and the great planet in the void. Once I thanked Santa for a few dolls and crackers. Now I thank him for stars and street faces and wine and the great sea. Once I thought it delightful and astonishing to find a present so big that it only went halfway into the stocking. Now I am delighted and astonished every morning to find a present so big that it takes two stockings to hold it, and then leaves a great deal outside. It is the large and preposterous present of myself. Of myself. It's wonderful, isn't it? Please take it home with you. And I love it because it reminds us of the great truth of Christmas. It reminds us of the truth of this feast of the incarnation, of God becoming one of us. And the truth is this: whatever your age, you are an ex-child. Whether you are 8 or 80, heaven still lies about us. And if you are looking for heaven, if you're looking for God, and which one of us isn't, if you're looking to connect with that depth and mystery and meaning within, beneath, beyond all life, God for short, then start by looking around you. Start by checking out, as Chesterton says, check out the staggering miracle that is another person's face as you pass them on the street. Or check out the wonder that is a glass of delicious wine. Or check out the astonishing power of the mighty sea. And then I would say, on this Christmas day, once you've taken those first little steps to open your eyes, then I would say, read the Christmas story again. And read the Gospels again. And keep your eyes wide open. Keep your eyes peeled for people like Mary and Joseph forced to leave their homes by a tyrant, and babies lying in a manger because no one except a kind stranger gave them shelter. Or keep your eyes peeled for times when those pushed to the margins, like shepherds at that time, or lepers, or outcasts of any kind, when those folks are welcomed and included and embraced. And keep your eyes peeled for prodigals being welcomed home, for the brokenhearted being comforted, for the messed up and mixed up being understood and forgiven. Keep your eyes peeled, because there, when we love our neighbors as ourselves, there when welcome trumps exclusion, when love overcomes fear, when hope refuses to die, there in the midst of us, among us, we will experience Emmanuel, God with us. But you know, on this Christmas day, there's something else to say to you as well. Because the truth is this: Christmas ain't a spectator sport. Christianity, by the way, isn't a spectator sport. Which is to say that we're not just called to keep our eyes peeled for signs of light and hope and peace. Oh no, we're called by the grace of God to be that light, to be that hope, to be that agent of peace, to allow the light and the life of Christ to be born in us. The great German mystic Meister Eckhart, he put it like this. He said, "What good is it to me? What good is it if the eternal birth of the Son takes place unceasingly, but does not take place within me? What good is it if the Creator gives birth to his Son, but I don't give birth to him too? This then is the fullness of time, when the Son of God is born in us." In us. When that light and life and hope is born in us. He's right, you know. Each one of us, in our own way, in our own unique way, in our own unique lives, we are called to allow that divine life to come alive in us. We're called not only to listen to the Christmas story, listen to the Gospels, but reenact them. Yeah, reenact them, so to speak. Be that kind stranger offering shelter. Be that prodigal parent or prodigal friend who loves the hell out of the wayward and the lost. Be the one who meets failure with forgiveness. The one who meets despair with hope. In other words, we are called, most particularly at Christmas, to allow the life of Christ, the life of kindness, compassion, love, joy, and peace to be born, not just in a stable, but in our hearts and in our lives. Now, one person, one man who understood this very well, was a man called Phillips Brooks. Phillips Brooks. You may not have heard of him, but he was a 19th century American priest. He was the rector of Trinity Church in Boston. He was, for a while, the Bishop of Massachusetts. Anyway, in 1865, 150 years ago, Philip had a life-changing experience because he went for Christmas, not to Boston, but to Bethlehem. He went to Bethlehem on pilgrimage, and he visited the fields outside Bethlehem where the shepherds are meant to have heard what we just heard in the Gospel. And he went to midnight mass in the Church of the Nativity. It was such a powerful experience that when he got home, Phillips Brooks sat down and wrote a hymn. Wrote a Christmas carol about it all. The Christmas carol is called O Little Town of Bethlehem. You know it well. In fact, we're going to sing it in a few minutes' time at the offertory. But for now, please listen. Listen to the first half of the final verse of that hymn, because it sums it all up. It just about sums up everything about Christmas, maybe everything about life. The final verse goes like this. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Today. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.